As I read this part of Paul's letter, I couldn't help but think of the awkward tension of pastoral ministry. On one hand, pastors have this responsibility to hold their people accountable before God and to say the tough things that need to be said and that people don't really want to hear. On the other hand, pastors are to shepherd their flock with grace and patience and love, gently extending the forgiving grace of God to their people. You know, on the one hand, pastors are to shepherd, pastors hold a position of authority, but on the other, really our job is to be servants. It's an awkward tension in pastoral ministry, and one that I know very well, and one that I know that Paul felt too. This portion of 2 Corinthians that Diana read for us, chapter 1, 15 to about 2, verse 4, this passage recounts a very specific episode in Paul's relationship with the church at Corinth. He had founded the church in Corinth. You can read about that in Acts 18. And Paul continued to minister to that church at Corinth as he traveled around the ancient Mediterranean world. And according to the passage that Diana just read for us, 2 Corinthians 1:16, Paul was on his way to Macedonia, and he planned to visit the Corinthians both on his way to Macedonia and then on his way back again. But it appears that somewhere along the journey, he became aware of this real tremendous sin going on in Corinth. Now, we don't know exactly what this sin is, but if you remember back to season one of Keeping Up with the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, there was some real garbage going on in the Corinthian church, right? There was a father and a son who were shacking up with the mother at the very same time, and people in the Corinthian church seemed to think that this was an okay thing. So apparently, again, something even worse than that has happened. And so Paul decides, look, instead of coming to see you right now and ream you out in person, I am going to send this letter to you. Now, in the sovereignty of God, that letter has been lost to time. And to be frank, I'm not entirely surprised, because what kind of church is going to make copies of a letter that says, stop doing such sinful things and circulate it, right? That one goes into the drawer, never to be seen again. So we don't know the exact circumstances because that letter is lost. But this letter, 2 Corinthians, we do have. And 2 Corinthians 2, 4 specifically talks about this letter that Paul wrote to hold the Corinthian church accountable. And he says, verse 4, I wrote to you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. That's the tension of pastoral ministry, right? Pastors need to say tough things sometimes that people don't want to hear. Pastors need to speak truth into dark situations to pull people back from the brink of disaster. But it gives us no pleasure to do that. You know, first of all, it grieves us that we have to say something in the first place. Right? Our hope is that all of our people are striving to live God-honoring lives. Second, it hurts to have to say to someone whom we love, you need to stop what you are doing because you are only hurting yourself. And third, there is this real awkward awareness that this person might just say, well, I'm not going to listen to you, and just go on doing their own thing and turn their back on you. You know, great distress and anguish of heart with many tears just about sums it up. But look at what Paul says is the prime motivation in verse 4. I told you this to let you know the depth of my love for you. Love is not letting a person go on hurting themselves. It's gently and carefully and graciously calling a person back to safety, back to relationship with God, not from a position of superiority, but from one of love and humility and genuine concern. And that is the balance that I strive to keep as I do ministry here at Langford. You know, thankfully, we have had no real spectacular sins at Langford. But, you know, we all need to be reminded sometimes to think about what we are doing, to reevaluate our priorities, to keep our eyes focused on God. Sometimes that means that I am going to say things that you don't want to hear. It may mean that I need to challenge the status quo, that I may need to challenge worldview. But know that I'm not doing this to cause pain. And by the way, don't worry, I'm not telling you this because in 2 weeks from now, I'm going to like give it to you with double barrels. Not at all. This has just come up in the flow of 2 Corinthians. But it's a neat chance for me to be able to say to you, I feel for all of you. I mourn when you mourn. I celebrate when you celebrate. I want the absolute best that God has for every one of you. And I don't want any of you to miss out on the abundant, holy life that God has laid out to be yours. And so I will try to maintain that balance of challenge and encouragement, of reproof and comfort, because that's my job. You know, if this was a country club, then I would have no real authority to hold you to a higher ethical standard, would I? And some people want the church to be that, right? Just like, look, I'm a come, I give my offerings, I just want you to make me feel good about myself and then say go in peace. That's not a church. A church is the family of God, fallible people striving together to faithfully follow Jesus, iron sharpening iron, right? And so I'm going to keep pointing us back to this, the passage that Diana read, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He put his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know what that means? You are treasured by God. He has anointed you. He has claimed you. He has guaranteed your eternal well-being. That is for us, not because we have earned it, not because we do earn it, but you know what? We want to live a life that is consistent with the kingdom of God. We want to live a life that is honoring God. And so I'm going to keep on doing my best to prepare you for that eternal life with God. Let's pray together. Jesus, this image of a shepherd is really helpful. You know, a shepherd is not inherently powerful, is not inherently proud. He is simply trying to take care of his flock because he loves each and every one of them. Jesus, that is the way that you care for us. That is the way that I want to care for your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us together to hold each other accountable, to lift each other up to you, to become more and more faithful. Lord, when people need to speak to me and say, I don't know if that lines up with the Bible, Graham, give me ears to hear. When I need to say to people in the congregation, I don't know if that behavior is lining up with the Bible, give them ears to hear. And Lord, in it all, may we interact with each other and grow deeper in a spirit of love and compassion and humility. Lord, none of us are superior to one another. We are all equal before your cross and before your throne. And because you have loved us deeply, we pray that you would help us to love each other and lift each other up so that we might in eternity enjoy the grace and love that you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.